Chodesh Tov Mevorach, today's daf in Masechet Tefachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet. And what I'd like to do, because of the fact that it's almost impossible to understand this daf without having very clear the last parts of the last daf, I'd like to start with you from the two dots on Amud Beis again, review them, so that we can go straight into the details, which are a bit complex and you're going to need to concentrate on. So I want to make absolutely certain that we know what we're talking about. So if you don't mind, start at the two dots on Lamed Chet Amud Beit, and let's remember once again. Our Mishnah begins with the idea, according to Beit Hillel, that even on a chatas, which requires four matanot, the halacha is that if you give one matana, that is sufficient. And the other three, it's a mitzvah to give, but it's not going to be ma'akev the korban. Beit Shammai held that we need two. But right now we're going to focus on the shita of Beit Hillel. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, these remaining shalosh matanot shebechataot, the last three matanot, which once you've given the first one, are a mitzvah to do, but if it's not done, you're going to have a kosher korban anyway. I just want to explain to you, says Rabbi Yochanan, that doesn't mean just because we can dispense with them that therefore they don't have the dinim of regular dam. You can't bring them at night. If you didn't get around to bringing them in the day, they become posel belino like any other dam, and that's it. You're not going to be able to use them. But they're very different than the original chiyuv, because if the baal of the chatat dies, normally if the korban hasn't been brought, then that becomes a chatat hameta. You're not allowed to use that korban at all, and it becomes osurbana, and very, very chamur. Mashenkin, in this case, once the chatas was mechuperet, because you already brought that first matana, and that's the only matana that's ma'akev, according to Beis Hillel, so the remaining three will be able to be brought, even if the owner in the interim is deceased. It doesn't make any difference because he was already mechupar, and therefore it's not considered to be a chatas shebeta ba'aleh before the kapara. And the third thing to remember is that this is real dam, and therefore, if you are malet b'chutz, you'd be chai. If you bring this dam, even though it's not absolutely necessary any longer, if you bring it b'chutz, you're going to be chayev because it is dam and it's part of the korban. We'll get into the details of this later. Now, Rav Papa expands on this and he says, look, I want to make sure that we understand there's a lot of different issues that affect the dinim of dam, and not all of them are the same. In some ways, these three remaining matanot are exactly the same as the original. And in some ways, the three remaining matanot are different. So let me explain. Yesh me'am ketchilato ve'yesh me'am kesofo. So let's go through all of the different dinim that have to do with dam. Let's talk about chutz. Can you do this b'chutz? Can you put this dam, makrev it on a mizbeach outside of the azor? That's the din of chutz. Then there's the halacha of Laila. Are you allowed to bring this dam in the night following the original Kabbalah of that dam? So let's just remember the different issues. Chutz, Laila, Zarut. That's the question. Can a Zar, an unkohen, is he allowed to put this dam on the Mizbeach? Kli Sharet. That has to do with the fact that the dam has to first be inside of a Mizrak before the kohen is allowed to apply it with his finger to the Mizbeach, the Karnot HaMizbeach. Furthermore, Karen, it has to be put on the Karnot HaMizbeach, above the Chut HaSikra, all the way at the top in the Amal Ana Karen on all four sides. Etzba, the kohen has to use his actual finger on the dam to apply it, and it cannot be sprinkled on the Mizbeach from the Kli. Kibus, that has to do with the question of if any dam falls onto a beget from the Chatas, it has to be kavuz b'makom kadosh, has to be washed inside of the Azara. That's a special halacha, which is mechuyev on any dam that's roi for Zrika. And this dam is roi for Zrika, even though it was already mechupa. Shirayim. And that's the next piece that we have to think about. What's the din of creating, if there's any leftover? Let's say we had been mekabel the dam in four different kosot. We gave the first kos, and that was mechaper. We left over some of that dam. The leftover of that dam has to be put on the yisod hamizbeach b'shvicha. So that's shvichas shirayim. In far as all of those dinim are concerned, says Rav Papa, they are all ketchilatan. There's no difference between those dam, the last three matanot, if you've got three separate kosot that are still remaining, each one of those kosot, and when you pour out the dam, is going to have shirayim in it, and each one of those shirayim is going to have to be shvichas yisod. So all of these different things, and it's very wonderful to have this all listed in one place. That way we have a list of all of the dinim of the dam of a chatas. So this is not all, because there's going to be some other things that we're going to say are not ketrilatan. But so far, what we've talking about that are exactly the same as the original matana, chutz, laila, zarus, klisharet, keren, etzba, kibus, shirayim. All of those are the same as the first matana. But how about the death of the owner, which would have made the first matana completely useless, and we would have to let this chatas just be thrown out? That it's not the same. Lo sharia, that these matanot are not necessary and are not matir basar and are not matir emurim. That's correct. Velo mefagla, and furthermore, they will not create pigel if you have a machshavas pigel in any of these three matanot, because you've already completed what is necessary for the korban, and this is not ma'akev kapara. Pigel, remember, is only on doing an aveda, which is going to be necessary. It is ma'akev kapara. This is not ma'akev kapara. So therefore, in those three ways, says Rav Papa, they are not the same. But in all of the ways that I discussed before, they are the same. Now, that is not so simple, because do we have a raya that when it comes to the question of, let's say, bringing it outside of the Beit HaMikdash, where it's no longer needed for the Mizbeach, or that it's going to make you wash the clothing in the Azorah? Does he have any proof of that? Says Rav Papa, I do. Mino aminalo, I'll prove it to you that I'm right. Because take a look at the Mishnah that we have later on, much later on in the Masechet, and the Mishnah says beferish that in the event that blood sprinkles from directly the neck of the animal onto clothing, there is no chiv of kibus. In the event that it sprinkles off of the keren, meaning that it's already after the netinat hadam, nope, it does not need kibus. If it sprinkles its bladders off of the yesod, which means apparently you've sent the shirayim down to the yesod, and once it hits the yesod, it splashes back and it gets onto your beged. It does not require kibus. Now here's my proof, says Rav Papa. That means, it says over here, that if it's on the keren and it splatters off of the keren, then it's not going to be mechayev kibus. But what does that mean? Suppose it hasn't yet reached the keren, huh? Suppose you've got any dam from this chatas, which you are going towards the keren, maybe this is the second, the third, the fourth matana, which means it's not ma'akev, it's the last three matanot. And it says over here, by implication, that if it was roi lekeren, and everybody agrees that you're supposed to put this on the keren amizbeach, right? So if it's roi lekeren, then it does require kibus. That proves my contention that the last three matanot, despite the fact that the korban has already been mechaper, the dam that is meant for the keren is going to be mechayev kibus. Says the Gemara, to Rav Papa, that makes no sense. Because if your diuk is correct, then your diuk should be applied to the next words in the Mishnah too. The next words in the Mishnah say, min ha-yisod, enoton kibus. If it sprinkles off, it splatters off of the yisod onto a beged, it doesn't need kibbutz. Now, if we're going to take your implication as being correct, then you have to make the same implication on the yesod, namely, but if it were roi liyesod, meaning what? If it's shirayim, that's meant to be poured out on the yesod, then it will require kibbutz. But darn it, nobody holds that. There's no such din. And even you agree that if it's shirayim, it's definitely not going to require kibbutz. So how could you make this diak in the Mishnah if the diak is not consistent in the Mishnah? If you're going to make the diak about the Karen part, then you're going to have to make the diak on the Yesod part. So obviously something very serious is missing in your understanding of the Mishnah. Because v'latayimech, if this is a correct implication, then continue reading. Min ha-yesod, it says, enoton kibbutz, unquote. And here is the logical extension of that implication according to you, Rav Papa. Ha-min ha-ra'uy li-yesod. But if it were shirayim that is meant to be put on the yesod, aha, then it is ton kibbutz. But we know that that's not true from the pasuk. Later on, we are medayik in the pasuk that since the Torah says specifically that the dam, the lashon of the pasuk is kol asher iga bivsara yigdash vasher yize midama ala beget asher yize aleha. What does that mean, yize aleha? That will be sprinkled. What that means is it requires something that is going to be niza. Prat lezeh shekvar huza. Masha inken shirayim, which are by definition the leftover of blood, which has already been sprinkled on the mizbeach, is specifically excluded in the pasuk from being mechayev kibbutz. So therefore, your own implications on the first part of the Mishnah, min ha-keren, but if it was still on the way to the keren, then it would be mechayev kibbutz, is wrong. Because the same implication could have been made on the next words. Min ha-yesod, but on the way to the yesod, it does require kibbutz, is obviously not true. So then there must be a different way of understanding what the Mishnah is talking about. The only other way to understand the Mishnah, as far as I see, if what you're saying is true, is that it's going according to Rabbi Nechemiah. Now, there is, yes, one shita that seems to hold that kibbutz would be necessary even if it was from shirayim. Who would that be? That would be Rabbi Nechemiah. What gives you that idea? Well, Rabbi Nechemiah says that if you bring shirayim b'chutz, you are chayev. So I'm assuming that if Rabbi Nechemiah says that you're chayev for sprinkling shirayim b'chutz, so then that means he views the shirayim as being the same as the original dam, right? So then, I mean, by extension, I would assume that the same thing is true about kibbutz. If the shirayim fall on a beged, they will need kibbutz. Okay, but then if that Mishnah that you just were medayik is going according to Rabbi Nechemiah, then you, Rav Papa, are wasting your time in trying to be medayik from this Mishnah anything about the shalosh matanais according to the Rabbanan. Because according to the normative halacha, which is not like Rabbi Nechemiah, and shirayim are not chayev in any of this, then maybe the shalosh matanei shebechatas that are left over after you give the one that was mechaper, maybe they also are not going to be mechayev in kibbutz. So your whole diuk is now baseless. If I've shown you that the Mishnah can only be understood according to Rabbi Nechemiah, how can you bring a raya from that Mishnah about the shalosh matanas according to the Rabbanan? So forget about it. I don't know if you're right or wrong, Rav Papa, but I do know you cannot bring a raya from this Mishnah, because this Mishnah cannot work out with your diak according to the Rabbanan. That's what I say. Wait a minute. What do you mean it's going like Rabbi Nechemiah? There's no such Rabbi Nechemiah. You make a leap over here by saying, well, after all, if Rabbi Nechemiah says that if I am going to take that dam, shirayim, and put it outside of the Beis HaMikdash on HaMizbeach, that I would be chayev, you're saying that must mean that it would be chayev kibbutz. I totally disagree. Ema deshamadar Rabbi Nechemiah, le'inyan ha'ala'ah. Look, The only thing Rabbi Nechemya said is that you put it on a Mizbeach Yerchayev if it's Bachutz. Yes, of course. That doesn't mean he views Shirayim as being dam. It means he views Shiore HaDam as being part of the animal. That's all that it proves. If you would put Evarim or Pidarim that are meant to be on the Mizbeach, and you put them on the Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, would you be Chayev? Yes. Well, blood is part of the animal. You're Chayev because you're being Mala, the animal, outside. What does it have to do with saying that it's a din of dam, and that therefore for kibbutz, which is only a din about dam, that for kibbutz, Rabbi Nechemya would say the same thing, and that shirayim are considered to be dam? I disagree. There's no such Rabbi Nechemya, and therefore, I don't know what you're going to do with the Mishnah, but it sure as heck you can't tell him, Rav Papa, that it's going like Rabbi Nechemya. So we're going to have to find some other approach. That's all that I can say. I mean, obviously, Rav Papa's got a problem because his implication is not consistent in both parts of the Mishnah. It can't work on the Yesod part. But on the other hand, we don't really have an explanation of the Mishnah. And we certainly can't say that it's Rabbi Nechemya. So I don't know. But look, there's definitely something wrong with Rav Papa's proofs. And there's definitely something wrong with this Mishnah. I mean, we're going to have to understand how the implications of the Mishnah that Shirayim would be Mechayev Kibbutz. Where does that come from? Says the Gemara, I beg your pardon? You're asking me whether I ever heard that Rabbi Nechemya says that it's considered to be dam? I definitely did. And it is Rabbi Nechemya. Stop giving me a hard time. And absolutely, I'll show you that Rabbi Nechemya has the same opinion about dam that from the shirayim that fall on a beket. Here, take a look at the Braita. Vatanya, damim ha-teunim yesod, blood that needs to be brought on the yesod ha-mizbeach. Now, what kind of blood is that? Let's just make sure we understand each other. Blood that needs the yesod ha-mizbeach. That's shirayim, right? It's shirayim that required the yesod ha-mizbeach. Okay. Now, it says over here, beferish to unim kivus. They have to be washed off of a beged bebokam kodesh if they spatter on begadim. Furthermore, machshava mo'elet behem. You can even create pigle with them. And furthermore, amalameam bachutz chayav. If you bring them out, your would be chayav. Now, whose shita is that? We know whose shita that is. That's Rabbi Nechemya Shita, that the amim that are tunim yesod shirayim malam ebuchus chayev, and it says beferish, it says tunim kivus. So what are you arguing with me for? Rabbi Nechemya holds across the board, shirayim are considered to be the same as regular dam. So the approach that I gave you in the Mishnah is perfectly viable. Okay, we forget about Rav Papa's diukim. They don't make any sense, and they're not consistent. And obviously, the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemya. On the other hand, continues the Braita, once we learn it, let's learn the whole thing. On the other hand, damim anishpachim la'ama, if these are dam that no longer are usable for anything, and they're just poured out of the drain, they don't create a need for kibbutz if they get onto a beged, and you can't have any machshava spiegel about them, in machshava mo'elet behem, and if you bring them up a chutz, you would be potter. Now, so let's please be honest over here. Man shamed l'diomar ma'alem me'umem b'chutz chayim. Who was the man diomar that said that if you bring up shirayim outside of the azorah that you're chayim, who was that? Rabbi Nechemya, right? And it says here, beferish, that the same Rabbi Nechemya also says tone kibbutz. What's your problem? I'm explaining the Mishnah perfectly well. Min ha-yesod, if they've already been used on the yesod, then they don't require kibbutz. But if they're still in need of being brought on the yesod, according to Rabbi Nechemya, then they do need kibbutz. That's our Mishnah. And therefore, Rav Papa, we could totally forget about Rav Papa. We've got a nice shot in the Mishnah. It's going Aliyah to Rabbi Nechemya. Rav Papa's diak is inconsistent, and therefore he has no raya from the Mishnah. As to whether he's right or wrong, I can't tell you. But I definitely know he's got no raya from the Mishnah. Excuse me. This doesn't work. Because how could it be referring to Shirayim? Take a look at what it says. It says, Machshava Mo'elet Behem. There is not a Shita in the world that says that you can make Pigel with a Machshava at the time that you're doing Shvicha Shirayim. We know, we said that before. Yotzer Shirayim, Vaktar Semurim, only things which are Ma'akev Kapora are usable as Matirin for Pigel, which specifically does not include Shirayim. It does not include bringing the Emurim on the Mizbeach, because those could be done without in Ma'aklim et HaKapara. And there, 100%, Machshava doesn't do anything for that. There's no Pigel. And nobody argues on that. So how can it be referred to Shirayim? Obviously, this is not referring to Shirayim. Now, we're going to have to explain those words. The Domim, what did we say? Domim HaTu'unim Yesod. Well, I mean, what is that if it's not Shirayim? I mean, come on. Well, maybe what it means is, indeed, like we said, it's referring to the Shalosh Matanos Shebechatas, right? Okay. So I don't know anything about Rabbi Nechemiah. All that it's saying is that those remaining three Matanot, because of the fact that they still have to be put on the Mizbeach, they are actually going to cause the need for kibbutz. That's what it's referring to. But wait a minute. It says to unim yisod. They're not to unim yisod. The shalosh matanos shebechatas, they have to be put on the mizbeach, on the keren. They're not thrown to the yisod. So why does it say damim atunim yisod? The keren asli. These damim are meant to be put correctly onto the mizbeach. Yes, 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 you're misreading it. Domim hatu'unim yesod does not mean these particular blood have to be put on the yesod. It means they're nit anim yesod. They end up, when you use them, to be mechayev their shirayim to be put on the yesod. That's all that it means. It means nit anim yesod, that they are still limited by the need to make sure that their shirayim will be put on the yesod. That's all it's saying. So it's a very nice way of telling me, if you have the kind of dam, which is not ma'akev kapara, because you've already given the first matana, and you're going to be putting it on the keren, but ultimately that means whatever's left over is going to need shvicha shirayim, the din of those dam is that it is still real dam, and it's going to be b'chayev kivus, and so on and so forth. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? It says Machshava Mo'elet Behen. That's what's wrong with that. And you said, Beferish, that Machshava is not Mo'elet Behen. Even Rav Papa agreed to that. Everybody agreed to that. The Mishnah agrees to that. Amrit Lo Sharya, you yourself said, they do not matir the meat in the Emurim. Velo Mefaglo, you cannot use a Machshava on them. Velo Ayla Legavoy, and in terms of the halacha of if they go into the Heichal. It's all kisofam. In that, they have the din of the sof. This is what Rav Papa himself said. And there was no arguing with that. Definitely no pigel on that. So, I don't get it. This cannot be referring to that either. So, I don't know. What we're saying makes any sense over here. Therefore, let's go back and recalibrate the whole thing. The truth is, yes, the Braisa was referring to Damim HaTu'unim Yesod was exactly what we thought, Shirayim, but not Shirayim of the regular Chatas, but rather Shirayim of the Damim HaPnimiyim. And remember we said that there was a Mandi Omar, that if you've got Shirayim on a Soyer or a par that is Nisrofim and it's brought inside of the Heichal, then the Shvicha Shirayim is Ma'akev. We learned that yesterday, that it's a Machlokas. So obviously, the only way to understand this whole Braita is that it's referring to the Damim HaPnimiyim. According to the Mandi Omer hold, Shirayim is Ma'akev. And it's saying that the Damim that are Pnimiyim are treated, since they're ma'akev, even though shirayim, they are treated exactly like dam for every purpose because they're Ma'akev Kapora. So if they're Ma'akev Kapora, you can be Mefagel with them. And if they're Ma'akev Kapora, they're going to be Mechayev Kibuz. And if they're Ma'akev Kapora, if you're Makriv Ben Bechutz, you're Chav. That makes perfectly good sense, which means that the Mishnah, the Braita that we're quoting over here has absolutely nothing to do with Rav Papa. And we're not even talking about the same topic. I mean, Rav Papa was referring to the Shalosh Matanos and regular Shirayim, and here we're talking about the Matanos Bifnim with the Shirayim that are Ma'akev. Sorry. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I got a problem, because if the Braita is referring specifically to the Damim HaPnimiyim, so then what would that imply about the Damim that are Shirayim that are Chitzoniyim, okay? What would be the din? The din would be that it's Pater. If you're telling me only the Shirayim HaPnimiyim are going to be Mechayev Kibuz, only the Damim HaPnimiyim are going to be Mechayev if you're Ma'akev, only the Shirayim HaPnimiyim are going to be able to be Mefagel, then you're telling me, but the Damim HaChitzoniyim are not able to be Mefagel if the Shirayim are not to own Kibuz, and are not chayev if you bring them bachutz, right? Okay, so then I got a problem for you. If that's how you understand the Braita, the Braita didn't say it's talking about the damim apnimiyim. You said the Braita is talking about the damim apnimiyim. Now, my problem is that if that's the whole point of this Braita, then why does the Braita itself contrast two situations? This is only true about the damim atu'unim yesod. But the damim that are being sent out the plug through the drain, damim that are nishpachim la'ama, none of this is true. For God's sake, why in the world would you contrast it with blood that you're throwing into the drain if you could contrast it even with the shirayim of the damim hakitzoniyim? So then the Braita can't be talking about damim hakpnimiyim as opposed to the damim hanishpachim la'ama. All you should have said was, this is only true about the damim apnimim, but dam that is from the chitzonim is not like this. To go to such an absurd extreme, but if you're throwing it out into the garbage, I mean, that's ridiculous. That loses all of the chidushim. Let's see that inside. Avo b'damim achitzonim, my. You're telling me it's potter? So why would the Braita then contrast it? Adetoni damim anishpachim la'ama. Instead of contrasting it, the blood that's going down the drain, we could say even regular shirayim, not contrasted the blood that's thrown out, but contrasted to other shirayim. You should have said as follows. When do we say these three dinim that you can actually be b'chayev kibuz, and that you're chayev for shkutechut, for zrikas chutz, and that you can be mefaga with this dam? When is that true? It's only true b'damim apnimiim. But if we'd be talking about the dam of achatas chitzona, then you would be potter in all of those three things. So how do you explain the fact that the Braita, if you're really correct, that it's referring to the damim apnimiim, why in the world would it not contrast it with the damim achitzoniim? Is this clear so far? We're going back and forth quite a bit. I want to know whether this is clear. Doesn't look like it's clear to anybody over here. I'm getting a lot of blank stares. So let's remember what happened here, please. Once again, if you really want to understand the daf, I won't drag you through it too many times, but it's really quite straightforward. Rav Papa makes a statement that there's a chiyuv of kibuz, and he wants to prove it. He tries to prove it from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Haru'uyim lekeren, and that means, it says, rather, the keren, if it sprinkles off the keren, you don't have to wash it. And Rav Papa says, okay, but that means if it's on the way to the keren, then you would have to sprinkle. You would have to, and it sprinkles off on your beged, you would have to wash the beged, right? That was my diak. We didn't like that diak. And the reason we didn't like that diak is because it's inconsistent, because the next words in the Mishnah say exactly the same thing about the yesod. If it sprinkles off of the yesod and splatters onto your beged, it says you don't have to wash it. Okay, so then you could be medayik the same diyuk. If it's on the way to the yesod, which is shirayim, that you would have to wash it. But Rav Papa himself doesn't hold that. As far as we know, nobody holds that. So how can Rav Papa make a diyuk in the Mishnah that's inconsistent? That was our problem with Rav Papa. Now, please separate that in your mind from all of the discussion subsequently, okay? Because the rest of the discussion is irrelevant to that problem. Rav Papa's got a problem. Let's set that aside. Now, we've got a problem because, I mean, the truth is that the diuk seems clear, even though we know it can't be true. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Well, the way we understood the Mishnah is that the Mishnah would be going according to a different shita, which is Rabbi Nechemya. And we know that Rabbi Nechemya holds that if you bring this dam shirayim outside, that you would be chayev. So we assume that that means, I'm sorry, we assume that that means that it's real blood. Yikes. That it's real blood, and that if it fell onto a baguette, it would require kibbutz. Fine, so maybe he's the one who said the Mishnah. And if he's the one who said the Mishnah, of course, Rav Papa is not going to be able to bring any proofs about anything, because he's trying to say that the Sholosh Matanah Shebechatas, according to the Rabbanan, are Mechayev Kibbutz, and that's not what we're talking about. So, I mean, it further reflects on Rav Papa, but we've set Rav Papa aside. We're trying to figure out, okay, what is this Mishnah doing? Then we popped down, you understand? Let's set all this aside. We pop down into the question of, is it really true that because Rabbi Nechemya says that you're chayev on being zorek pachutz, that he would also say that shirayim are considered to be dam legabe kibbutz? After all, the din of putting dam on a mizbeach pachutz may have nothing to do with dam. It may just be because it's part of the animal. And in the same way that if you bring any other part of the animal b'chutz, you're chayev for halas chutz, maybe that's true about the dam. But what gives you the idea that dam is actually technically called dam vis-a-vis kibbutz or vis-a-vis pigel if it is shirayim? And then we said, well, actually, I have proof. Because here we've got a bride. Now remember, we've popped down three levels over here. We're now talking about the implications of Rabbi Nechemya. That has nothing to do with Rav Papa, and it has nothing to do with whether Rav Papa's got a problem or not. Is that clear? We've set that aside. It has to do with, does this Mishnah make any sense? If it says that something that's on the Yesod is not going to dirty your clothing to be Mechayev Kivus B'Mokom Kadosh, does that mean that if it were not from the Yesod, and it was Shirayim, it would make your clothing need kibbutz? That's our problem, because as far as we know, nobody holds that. Then we said, yes, here's a braita, and somebody clearly does hold that. It's somebody who also holds that if you're ma'ala b'chutz, this dam, you're chayev, and he also says that if it's kibbutz, you're chayev, despite the fact that it says, beferish, we're talking about dam that requires a yesod, and therefore it's a reference to shirayim. So we thought that that gives us an author to the Mishnah. Yes, Rabbi Nechemya holds its dam 100%, even though it's shirayim. That's what we thought. And then we said, no, that doesn't make any sense, because it still is not true. Because it says over here that you can be mafago with them. Now, how can shirayim you could be mafago with? Nobody holds you could be mafago with shirayim. So anyway, you don't know what you're talking about. This can't be anybody that we know, and it can't be anybody at all. So how could it say Machshava Mo'elet Bahem? Okay. So therefore, we gave up on this approach to the Braita, and we said, look, it's not Rabbi Nechemia. You know what? It must be not even talking about Shirayim. It's talking about Shirayim of the Dam of Chataot HaPnimiot. It's not talking about the Shirayim that we've been talking about. And it's going according to the Mandi Omar that Shirayim of the Chataot HaPnimiot, the Purim V'Seirim HaNisrafim, according to this Mandi Omar, those Shirayim are Ma'akiv Kapora, therefore they're real Dam, therefore you could be Mefagel in them, and therefore they require Kivus, and therefore if you bring them Bachot Shechayev, that's all. So what does this have to do with our whole discussion? It's not Rabbi Nechemia, it has nothing to do with Rav Papa, it's a Braita that's referring to the Dam Bifnim. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, I don't know. I don't know what this Mishnah is, but it's not consistent with Rav Papa, and it's not consistent for Rabbi Nechemia either, so I don't know. Right? That's where we're up to. Now, this forces us to redefine Damim HaTeunim Yesod, obviously, because what we had to say was that we're talking about real Damim now that are Teunim Yesod, and this is a problem because of the fact this is where we're holding now. And this is a fourth level pop down. You understand? We're now understanding the diuk in a braita, which was brought as a raya that it's Rabbi Nechemia Shita, which turns out to be an alternative way of understanding a Mishnah, which was our original topic, which was the raya to Rav Papa, which is a raya to Rav Papa's statement about Kivus, which is the top level, right? Top level was the din of Kivus, reapplies to the Shalosh Matanas. Pop down into a diuk from a Mishnah that says the Damim of the Yesod and the Damim of the Keren. Pop down one more level into attempting to explain that Mishnah Alibi to Rabbi Nechemia. Then we have to pop down yet another level in order to explain that, yes, it's really true that Rabbi Nechemia holds this about Kivus. Then we have to examine that bright itself and show that, no, that's not true. Therefore, we pop down yet another level, that it's talking about Domim that are of the Chataot HaPnimiot. And then we get into the discussion of, okay, but then why don't you contrast it to the Damim HaChitzonim? Why are you contrasting it to blood that's thrown down the drain? That's where we are at. And therefore, you should maintain those different levels in your brain because it's not complicated if you do that. If you keep thinking about how each one of these things has to do with the original question that was raised, you'll go nuts because it doesn't. It doesn't directly impact on Rav Papa. We have Rav Papa. He's hanging there in the air without a raya to his statement. His understanding of the Mishnah is hanging there in the air because of its inconsistency. That's not going to be affected by any of this discussion, right? We're going to get back to that. So that's why I keep telling you, remember, that's what we're discussing. But right now we're trying to figure out, is there a way to understand this braita or not? Does it make sense to say that the braita is referring to Damim HaPnimiyim? So now we're saying, no, it doesn't. Because if it's referring to the Damim HaPnimiyim, then they should be contrasted to the Damim HaChitzoniyim. They should not be contrasted to the Dam that's being thrown down the drain. That's our problem. And now, I know this is going to make you crazy, now we have to explain this according to the... But honestly, I wish there was another Mandi Omar that we could say this about, but it's the same Rabbi Nechemia, but not because of what we said before, okay? Let's assume that Rabbi Nechemia, indeed, we were right in saying Rabbi Nechemia never implied that Kivus is necessarily true of Shirayim. That's still true, okay? That's still true. We don't know what Rabbi Nechemia holds about Kivus. All we know about Rabbi Nechemia is what he said. He said that if you bring Shirayim up Bachutz, you're Chayev. We had explained before that might be because it's really Dam, but we don't know. It might be because it's just part of the animal. And any part of the animal that you bring on a Mizbeach Bachutz, you're Chayev on, right? So we don't know, and we still don't know, and we don't need to know, so don't worry about it. The only reason we're bringing up Rabbi Nechemiah is because of the one thing that we do know about Rabbi Nechemiah, and that is you're definitely chayev b'chutz, right? Okay, so if Rabbi Nechemiah holds your chayev b'chutz on shirayim of chitzonim, we obviously cannot contrast in the Braita, the domim apnimiim are different, we said, in three ways. A, they are actually able to be mefugal. B, they are mechayev you in kibus. C, you are chayev for bringing them bachutz, but not if they're being thrown down the drain. So you said, okay, so why did you say that? You could have said, not if they're domim chitzonim. Ha ha! Because if this is going according to Rabbi Nechemiah, you cannot make that contrast. Why? Because it doesn't contrast all three, does it? If we know Rabbi Nechemiah definitely holds your chayev b'chutz on shirayim chitzonim, how can you say, but if it was chitzonim, then you would be potter on halas chutz? No, you wouldn't. Not according to Rabbi Nechemiah. Oh. Well, I could say you'd be potter from kibbutz. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you would or maybe you wouldn't. But I'm trying to make a contrast of three things. Can you make a contrast of three things? No. And I want to make a contrast of three things. So what am I going to contrast it to? Dom that's throwing down the drain. That's what I'm going to contrast it to. Right? Now let's see that inside. So you asked the question, why don't you say, because, Hamani Rabbi Nechemiah. Remember, Rabbi Nechemiah definitely holds shiore adam shikrivam b'chutz yirchayev. Yeah, but what does he hold about kivas? I don't give a hang what he holds about kivas. It's not important. The point is that we can no longer have a contrast between the pnimium and the chitzonium, according to Rabbi Nechemiah. What are you bothering me about? We finished with that topic, okay? You go look into Rabbi Nechemiah and speak to him. Don't ask me what he holds about kivas because it's not relevant. And therefore, lo matni le tlata peturi, lebadi tlata chiyuve. If you're trying to contrast three different things, and you cannot, because Rabbi Nechemiah throws a hatchet into it, because, I mean, well, it's still true about shirayim apnimim that you'd be chayev b'chutz. I mean, chitzonim, you'd be chayev b'chutz. Okay, so therefore, if I want to make the contrast, I can only contrast it to dumping it down the drain. End discussion. Getting back now to Rav Papa, okay? Now, forget about all the pop-downs. Let's go back to Rav Papa, who's been sitting out there and has got a problem with the Mishnah, and we have no idea how to consistently be medayik this Mishnah. Something's weird. Says Ravina, look, it's very obvious what the answer is according to Rav Papa. I don't know what you guys are going nuts for. It's very simple. Your question of, and according to you, Rav Papa, you're going to make the same diak from the next piece in the Mishnah that says min ha-yesod, but if it was only royally yesod, that's not what it means. The Mishnah is not written for dummies. It's written for intelligent people, and therefore an intelligent person says to himself, now wait a minute. How could the Mishnah tell me min ha-yesod that it's not going to be chayav kivas? If even min hakeren it's not mechayev kivas, how would I think min hayesod it's chayev kivas? What am I, stupid? If real dam, not shirayim, and it's already been put on the mizbeach, it's on the mizbeach, on the keren. If it drops onto my baguette, I don't have to wash it. Say, you need to tell me min hayesod, I don't need to wash it. That's not even dam. That's shirayim. How stupid do you think I am? So therefore you say to yourself, well, the Tana knows I'm not that dumb, so he must obviously mean something else when he says Minah Yisod, right? So therefore, says Ravina, look, it's very simple. It's a ridiculous question. When it said Min HaKeren, it meant literally Min HaKeren, like Rav Papa was referring to. Min HaKeren. And that implies, but if it was Ro'i LeKeren, namely, the Shalosh Matanot Shebechatas, then it would require kibbutz, which is exactly what Rav Papa was medayik. But then when it says min ha-yesod, obviously that doesn't mean off of the yesod. What do you think, I'm stupid? Min ha-yesod means min ha-roi li-yesod. That there, the shirayim, do not require kibbutz. That's all. And any intelligent person reads the Mishnah like that. He doesn't get stuck with, well, doesn't it mean the same thing as Minakaren? No, it doesn't. That's the simple explanation in which Rav Papa now does have a raya from the Mishnah, and your question about consistency was a question for dummies, and the Mishnah wasn't written for dummies, and that's the bottom line. So says Ravina. It all makes perfectly good sense. So Rav Tachlifa Bar Gaza asks Ravina, well, maybe, actually, the whole point of the Mishnah is to tell me not like Rav Papa. Maybe both cases were referring to Ro'i. And the whole point is that if it was Ro'i LeKaren, and it still would not require Kivus, there is such a thing, what could that be? That could only mean the Sholosh Batana Shebechatas, and therefore this would be a Raya against Rav Papa. What makes you say that it refers to from the Karen Mamish? If you're ready to say that the Yesod doesn't mean Yesod Mamish, it means Mina Royli Yesod, so then Mina Karen would mean Mina Royla Karen. A goof for coming to tell me not like Rav Papa. Royla Karen, obviously that can't mean the first Matana. Yes, you're right. It means the last three Matanas, and it shows that Rav Papa is wrong. Oh, come off it, says Ravina. Hi, my. I mean, look. What I'm telling you is not, I'm not picking it out of a hat to say that said this one means Roy and this one means real. I'm explaining to you that it has to mean that. What you're saying is it might mean this and it might mean that. What kind of stupid talk is that? If Roy LeKaren, think about what the implications would be. If the Mishnah was saying Roy LeKaren, that even the Shalosh Matanas are not going to be Mechayev Yukibus. Do I really need to write at the end of the Mishnah that Shirayim are not Mechayev Kibus? Again, what you're saying is the Mishnah was written for idiots. That's my whole point, for heaven's sakes, Rav Tachlifa Bar Gaza. So, my, if Roy LeKaren, you're telling me, lo, does not require Kibus, Ro'ili Yesod, me boy, you really think I need a pasuk to tell me that if it's Shirayim, it doesn't require Kibbutz? Therefore, the Mishnah only makes sense like Rav Papa. That's the whole point. Mina Karen means Dom that comes from the Karen, literally, Mamash, is not Mechayev Kibbutz. But then when it says Mina Yesod, it can't mean that because that would be idiotic. Therefore, it must be telling me even Mina Ro'ili Yesod. And it's a beautiful way to actually put in as much information with as little speaking and require the learner of Torah Shebaal Peh to have a brain, which is the whole point of Torah Shebaal Peh and the whole point of the structure of the Mishnah by Rebbe, in which the reader is forced to use a brain. And that's the whole idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. Thank you very much. And therefore, Rav Papa is absolutely correct. It's a beautiful diak, actually, and it all makes perfectly good sense. Now, let's get on with our business. So, kol anitanim amizbeah hapnimi. Me. On the other hand, what we did say is that if the dam is being brought on the mizbeah hapnimi, oh, then that's a problem, because then it's all going to be ma'akev, and if you miss even one, you got zero. Where do we know that from? So, all of this is based on a beautiful pasuk, which is extremely information dense, okay? And here's what you need to remember in order to understand this fully. It says, remember our opening description of a chatas refers to what? It refers to the par of the Kohen Mashiach, right? That's number one. Number two is the par helam dover shel tzibur. Now, those two karbonas are both pnimim. The dam has to be brought inside. Now, there's other karbonas that the dam has to be brought inside that are not mentioned in Vayikra, which are what? I mean, when I say Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra. They're not mentioned in Vayikra. One of them is not mentioned even in Chumash Vayikra. It's mentioned in Shlach, in Bamidbar. And what's that? That is the Seire Avodah Zarah, which are the equivalent of a Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, except where the mistake was made in terms of Avodah Zarah. Okay? That's another carbon that's brought Bifnim. What other carbonas are brought Bifnim? the karbanos on Yom HaKippurim are brought bifnim. The par v'sayer shi Yom HaKippurim are brought bifnim. Now, all of those share the need to do a zrikas dam bifnim. And we do these seven zrikas towards the parochet, and the kaporet on Yom Kippur, and seven, do four zrikas on the kronos hamizbeach, applications that send the kronos hamizbeach of the mizbeach hazahav, and then the shiraim are taken out b'chutz, and they're poured out on the mizbeach hachitza, right? Now, they all share this. The thing is, it doesn't say that anywhere about all of them. It doesn't give that information. When the Torah talks about in Shlach to bring a Sawyer for Avodah Zarah, it doesn't even say that that Sawyer that's brought by the Tzibor is brought Bifnim. It doesn't say that it's Nisraf. It doesn't say anything about it. And some of the dinim that we know about the dinim of even the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, some of them are not Beferish mentioned in the dinim of Yom Kippur. We'll see what that's referring to tomorrow. And therefore, we have this astonishing short pasuk that comes in the middle of the dinim of the par helem dover shel tzibur. And it gives you all of the things you need to do with the dam of the par helem dover shel tzibur. And it then says, completely unnecessarily, this pasuk, and I want you to inscribe this pasuk on your memory. The asa lapar, ka'asher asa lepar hachatat, ken ya'aselo. Now, all of this is ridiculous. Do to this par the same thing you did to that par. Which par? The one that we just mentioned before this, which is what? The par of the Kohen Mashiach. Well, what do you do to this par what you did to that par? You just told me exactly what to do, and it happens to be exactly what you said to do. So why are you saying to do it? And what's all of this par-par stuff? I mean, just tell me. V'asa kasher asa l'chatat. V'asa l'par, kasher asa l'par, hachatat. And then you throw in additionally, ken yaselo, that's the same thing you should do. Oh, for God's sake. First of all, I know it's the same thing. Second of all, you just told me to do the same thing. And then you repeat for the third time and do the same thing. Ken yaselo. What in the world is this all about? V'chiper aleihem ha-kohen v'nislach lehem. Yes, you said that before. So, I don't understand. What is this pasuk all about? And because of that, this pasuk has tremendous vision that allow us to apply its dinim to other parim. And that's what all these extra par-pars are. And there, we're going to see how we learn out all of these other dinim. So let's analyze this pasuk to the full... I've run out of water. I'm sorry. I got a little bit of other water.
We definitely must finish the third parrot. So let's keep that in mind. We can't leave it hanging because the last time we did that parrot bed, it took 3 weeks to get back.
All right. There's nothing I can do about getting through this stuff any faster. I'm sorry. So let's take a look at that pasuk. The asa kasher asa. Now, what is that supposed to mean? There's no chiddush in that, of course. Ma balilmo. What is that supposed to teach me? Absolutely nothing, since everything that I was supposed to do, you already told me what to do. Aha! But it's doubling that mitzvah. And what happens when the Torah wants to be ma'akev when it comes to kachim? Shana alav akatuv la'akev. So whenever we have a doubling of a chiyav, that teaches us that it's not a recommendation, it's an absolute requirement. And if any of that is missed, then it's kaput. So what does that tell me? That whatever I needed to do on the par, do it. Yeah, I know that. Aha, but I'm telling you again, do it, buddy. Okay, so then that means don't miss any of it. That teaches me what it says in our Mishnah. And that is to teach me, v'lamad, she'im chisar achat mikol ha-matanot lo asa v'lo klum. This is the basis of what the Mishnah said. Now, that might be a reference only to the matan sheva. So remember, both of these korbanos have a chiv of giving dam to the parochet, and matan sheva is interesting because wherever we find that the Torah demands 7 zrikas, they're always ma'akev in other places. For instance, as the Gemara is going to explain later, even when it comes to the Parah Aduma, or when it comes to the Mitzorah, we know that those 7 zrikas, there's some magic in that number, and whenever you need to do 7 zrikas, they're always ma'akev. Okay? So then that must mean what it is here too. If it's telling me that you are going to be ma'akev, do the same. Maybe it's only referring to that Matan Sheva, which are ma'akev all over. But how do you know that the Matan Arba, because on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, Matan Arba is not ma'akev. Remember? Not according to Beit Shammai and not according to Beit Hillel. I mean, there is a machlokas if you need 2 or you only need 1, but certainly they're not totally ma'akev. So, if that's the case, maybe here too, they're not ma'akev. Matan Arba Minayin. Ah, Talmud Lomar Ken Yaseh. Oops, that explains that extra. And that's how to do it. You said that already twice. Yeah, I know. But now I'm telling you that's how to do it for the Arba also. So now I know that Kofa, the Shona Lava Ketuv La'akev is true, both of the Matan Sheva and the Matan Arba. Now, when it then goes ahead and it says Lapar, well, why do you have to say Lapar? Oh, that's referring to the Par Yom HaKippurim, and it also needs to be done. What? Doesn't it say everything you need to do on Yom Kippur? It does. And does it require repetition? It does not. Why? Because it says Chok Olam, Chukat Olam. And any time it says Chukat Olam, it's Ma'akev. So I don't need it for that. So the Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, so what is that referring to? Because as far as I know, we already have all of these dinim stated. Fine. Let's leave that aside, okay? Let's continue darshaning the pasuk. So the first lapar is a reference to the par Yom HaKippurim. V'asa lapar. The second lapar, kasher asa lapar. Oh, what's that par referring to? Ah, well, that par, that second lapar, is referring indeed to par Kohen Mashiach, and that teaches us that even though all of this repetition is only said here in the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, when it refers back in the upper direction as well. Just like the repetition means the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, any one of those matanos is ma'akev, so too the par before, meaning the par of the Kohen Mashiach, is compared now backwards, going back up, to the par of the Kohen Mashiach, and it too is ma'akev all of the matanos, and im chiser achat lo asav lo klum. So that's lovely. We now know that all of the parim that we're talking about here locally, they're all going to be ma'akev. But then why does it have to repeat kasher asala par hachatat? I mean, we know we're talking about that par hachatat. What is that chatat? Ah, that chatat comes to tell me that the same dinim that applied to the par halam dover shel tzibur here, in which the par is the korban chatas, apply to the soyer in shalach, in which the soyer is the chatas and the par is the oila, and that is the carbon that is brought for a mistake made by the Sanhedrin in the hora'ah legabe dinim of avodah zarah. And it's coming to tell me all the information that was completely missing in Parsha Shlach. In Parsha Shlach, all it said was the identity of the animal you're supposed to bring. It didn't say where to bring it, how to bring it, or anything. So now we know that is the chatat that is referenced in Shlach, and it has all of the dinim of the korbanos that we're talking about here, the par Kohen Mashiach and the par of Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Now, you might think that that word hachatat includes even the korbanos that are brought on the regalim and the on Roshei Chodashim. And you might think that that adds, since they're being brought by the tzibur, they are treated like the korbanos of Yom Kippur and Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, and you have to bring them inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and you're supposed to burn them. So maybe all of those korbanos that we talk about in the Musafim are meant to be actually like these. So that would include the Regolian, today's Sayer, which Sayer Echad L'Chatat L'Hashem, that we just read about in Shul, so that there's an additional Sayer, maybe that's also part of the Chatat, and requires Sire Rosh Chadashim, requires Hakrova Bifnim with all of these Sheva and Arba and Ikov. No. That, how do I know no? Because there's an extra word here. Kein Ya'aseh Lo. What do you mean Lo? Just say Kein Ya'aseh. Aha. So we've got another extra word. What does the Lo mean? For this and only for this and not for anything else. So do not extend this beyond where it's meant to be extended. And it does not apply to Seirei Regalim or Seirei Roshei Chodashim. Okay, beautiful. Now, wait a minute. Wait, what's so beautiful? It's completely, completely arbitrary. You've got one pasuk that says lo, which is only for this and not for anything else. And then you've got another pasuk that says ad chatas. Okay, so you say ad chatas means the seir avodah zarah. Only this means, and not the Seirei HaRegolim. Thank you very much. And if I argue and I say, let's try the other way. Maybe the Chatat means the Chataot of the Regolim and of Rosh Chodesh, and the Lo means not the Sayer for Avodah Zarah. I don't know. So Maraita, like, why did you make up your mind that the Riboy of Chatat is Marba, what we brought, which is the Seirei Avodah Zarah, and the Lo is coming to be Motzei, the Seirei HaRegolim and Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it's the other way around, huh? Well, I mean, it's only logical, isn't it? Achashiriba katovu miyet. On the one hand, the Torah tells me chatat to add other things. On the other hand, it says, but not everything, because it says a lo. Well, it leaves it up to me to use my brains again. Marbe ani et elu shebechaprim al avera mitzvah yedua. I am therefore going to include the Seirei Avodah Zarah, because they are coming to be mechaper on a particular mitzvah which is known, and this is a kapara on a known sin. But the other ones, the whole idea of the Seirei HaRegolim and the Seirei Rosh Chodashim are brought specifically on things that nobody knows about. They didn't know that they became Tameh. Or they remember the whole Mishnah and Shavuos. We didn't know that we were Tameh. We didn't know that we were in the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't know that what we were eating was Hegdash. Well, that's a special case, man. The Torah has to provide these special karbonos for them, and they're brought as the Musafim. What does that have to do with comparing it to something like the Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibor, where when you're talking about the Sa'irim for Avodah Zarah, it's exactly the same. It's a mistake made by Besdin about a particular thing that we now have to be mechaper on. We know what the Avera was. It was usher to do this. We thought it was mutter. I don't get it. Now you're going to say that this should apply to the Seirei HaRegolim and Seirei Rosh HaKadoshim, which are completely unique things that are brought where people had no idea that they had did the Avera. So now, are you satisfied? Can I get back to the Pasuk? Fine. Now, continuing my analysis of the Pasuk. So then it says, V'chiper. So, okay, that comes to tell me, even though it seems to be repetitious, V'chiper alayem ha-kohen v'nislach lahem, seems to be telling me that even though something is missing, this is Marba, even though something is missing, nonetheless, v'chiper ha-kohen v'nislach lahem. What is that coming to teach me? That comes to tell me, v'chiper afapi shelo samach, even though it says that the Bezdin is supposed to be samach yedehem on this par, if they don't, it doesn't matter. And even though it says the shvich ha-shirayim have to be done on the yisod mizbeach ha-chitzon, if you don't do that, it makes no difference. V'nislach af al pi shelo natan shirayim. Ah, so wait. So here again, you're being very arbitrary. You're telling me on the one hand, if you leave anything out, it's no good. That's when it comes to the dam that you're putting on the mizbeach. And then on the other hand, you're saying, even if you didn't do it, it's fine. Well, that refers to the smicha and the shvicha shirayim. I don't know. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the fact that it says v'chiper v'nislach is to tell me, even if I don't do all the hazos. I don't know. So Mara'ita, why do you say the hazos that are missing anything, that's disaster. But the smicha and the shirayim, that's kosher. Well, again, I'm using my brain. I mean, if the Torah is telling me that something is posel and something is kosher, it's obvious to me that the hazaot that are ma'akev all over, and they are therefore going to be ma'akev over here. So posel ani b'hazaot that we know in these other places, which we're going to talk about, the mitzaraz, the poraduma, those seven are ma'akev. And in other places, we've already learned in some of the hazos are ma'akev, machshir ani b'smicha v'shirayim, which we never find are ma'akev. This is going, of course, according to the Man D'Yomar, who says that shvicha shirayim are not ma'akev on the korbanos hapnimiim. The first part of today was going according to Man D'Yomar, who said that they are ma'akev. It's a little confusing, but we know that it's machlokas, and this is going according to that Man D'Yomar. And now we have a lovely understanding of this pasuk, which addresses most of the issues that we needed to know based on our Mishnah and based on the sugyas that are coming. So boy, oh boy, did we deal with a lot of issues today, and there was so much excitement. We went through all of the various dinim that are nogei adam, and what the differences are between those amazing different dinim binogea, the shalosh matanot that are left over after you gave the first. We talked about the way in which the shalosh matanot are similar to the original dam, the way that they are not, the differences which led us to understand all of these differences about chataot hametot, about the possibility that dam that's brought pechutz might be an actual part of the animal, and even if it's not dam, it would still be chayev for bringing pechutz, halas chutz, an amazing chiddush we never knew of before, introducing the interrelationship of the shita of akrava bechutz to the din of kivos. Is there a similar halacha bekivos? We learned that pigol could also be chal even on shirayim in the event that you're talking about shirayim that are ma'akvim kapora. We learned about the different shitot that are nogea shirayim, and we also learned all of the makoros for the difference between the ikuva of the dam in the seirim and parim that are nisrafim, and the mokar for the halachas of the seira v'rezara, which the Torah had never explained before until it uses that one extra word of hakatat here. So that gives us a lot to review, and it's been a very fruitful day. And we'll have to do our last Mishnah tomorrow, not like Shmuel Chanina would have desired, but I hope that anyway we come out with a full understanding of this short, sweet, condensed, information-rich, powerful, and poetic daf in which a person learns how to read words that he thought were just prose and turn out to be pure poetry, and therefore another step towards understanding Lashon HaKodesh, which is the essence of how the Torah teaches us. Thank you very much, and a wonderful Rosh Chodesh to all. I think Chaim Meyerfeld is raising a hand, or is he just saying, more power to you, more power to you? I like that. Okay.
It's very appropriate for Mizbeach Chodesh, B'tzion Tachin, to be talking about Yom HaMizbeach. A good Chodesh, Rabbi.
A good Chodesh. Amen. Kol Tov to all. Come back tomorrow.